The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, and the sage of Tampa Bay sports is the star. But it's awfully weird hearing that intro music without Ira Kaufman himself sitting next to me, because it's all about him. But do not fear, he is here today. Bruce Arians sits down with Ira, me, and Lee DeKemper, the other Joe at Joe Bucks Fan, and we have our interview, and then Lee and Ira will be talking about it and dissecting some of the really cool stuff coming up there. Ira's podcast, of course, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The road to summer savings takes you right down Causeway Boulevard to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The 2019 Escalade, 0% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers on the 2019 Escalade. You can check it out at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com and all of the other offers for this month. And right there, June 20th, one day only, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, you can come and see the all-new XT6 Cadillac, the 2020 XT6. It's a rollout party. Ira will be there. Food, no charge, will be served from 5 to 7 p.m. You can hang out with Ira, check out the showroom, check out the XT6, eat some top-shelf food, and enjoy yourself. All you have to do is go to edmorsecadillacbrandon.com and RSVP for Thursday, June 20th is the date, and bring a friend, have a good time. Can't think of anything much better to do other than the next night. You can go to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and do the exact same thing right there, just west of 275 on Fletcher. You can go to the Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa showroom 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, and Ira will be there. You can hang out with him, start your weekend right with some food and drinks courtesy of Cadillac, and check out the XT6. Go to edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillactampa.com to RSVP. It's all free. And of course, while you're at edmorsecadillactampa.com, you'll see that more than 1 million satisfied customers have been taken great care of by Ed Morse and their family of dealerships for more than 73 years across the state of Florida. And new Cadillac models, select in-stock models, zero down, zero security, zero first month at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Check out all the offers and the details at edmorsecadillactampa.com. Now, Bruce Arians, he's talked to some other outlets, of course, as a mini camp was winding down, but we got our sit down and I think we got some juice here. There's definitely some intrigue. The folks who listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, where it's periodically in the top 50 all genres across America. That means all the political podcasts, all the national stuff. Somehow Ira pops in regularly in their real-time rankings of the top 50 most popular podcasts, which is pretty darn cool. And of course, we appreciate all the readers who just listen right at JoeBucksFan.com. But we got some good stuff out of Coach Arians, and Ira and Lee DeKemper are going to talk about it afterwards, and we'll dive into it more in future podcasts. I think you're going to enjoy it. I think Bruce Arians enjoyed it. We had a couple of good laughs in there, especially at the end. And here's the head coach. All right, so as promised, here's Bucko Bruce Arians, as we call him, the great head coach. Welcome, Coach. It's great to see you.
Good to be here, guys.
Yeah, we've told you what we do. We were chatting off the mic, and I heard you the other day on ESPN. You said, it's easier than ever to flip it. That was your quote, to flip it in the NFL, to turn a team around. I think everybody would want to know why. Why is it easier?
With the new rules and the turnover and roster, free agency, the draft, all those things, if you utilize it properly and the core guys in your locker room buy into the change, it's an easy flip. Now, the hardest part is that core locker room buying in, so they can flip the young players to what you want as a culture.
Is the flip going? Is the flip part of it on schedule?
I couldn't anticipate it to be any better right now just watching them work, because they're showing up. First of all, they didn't have to show up. They show up, they work, and when they work extremely hard, and we're getting better and smarter at it as we go on.
Yeah, that's Ira's MO. I don't have to show up, so we're always leaning on him, but he's there on payday, Coach.
Oh, of course.
Bruce, they're picking on me. Bruce, you got to defend me. All right, I'm stepping up for Mr. Bruce Charles Arians. Bruce, you inherited a 5-11 team in 2013 out in the desert. Inherit a 5-11 team here, but I think you'd agree with me. every project like this is unique and different. What's the difference between the Arizona project and the Tampa project?
Well, the first thing, when we walked into Arizona, we had no quarterbacks. We didn't even have a roster. So we went and got Drew Stanton, who I really trusted. Then we were fortunate enough to trade for Carson Palmer. We had a solid defense, but a very, very young offense. Putting the pieces, especially in the offensive line, was really hard that first year. So we leaned on the running game. We leaned on our defense some. Carson was a vet, although he did throw some picks that first year, which he got down. But we were able to scratch out 10 wins because we won close games.
And how does that compare to the challenge
well, this,
here?
This one, we walk in, we've got a quarterback who I love, I trust. I think he's got it all. A better offensive line situation. I think speed-wise, defensively, we're better. We might have been a little bit bigger up front with Calais Campbell and Darnell Dockett at that time. But now with Sue and Vita, maybe that's not the case. But I love our team speed right now on defense, which is going to equate to good special teams.
Bruce, any concern, and I know you're going to say no, but you're putting a little burden on that number five pick, Devin White, and I know you feel he can handle it. But, Bruce, a kid who hasn't even signed his first pro contract, supposed to be the face of the defense. Any concern too much, too soon for Devin White?
No, not at all. You're right. I mean, he's come in, he's so mature, you know, and he's in great condition. He's extremely bright. He loves it. You know, I mean, you get these guys once in a lifetime who they all got physical skills, but they don't love it. I mean, they wouldn't do it for free. This cat would do it for free as long as he could ride his horses. You know, and
Winston was another guy like that. He'd do it.
Oh yeah, and you know, like I said, had him so far ago in that football camp. It's still scary how long ago that was. But you could see it then. You know, some guys just have that, and so don't be afraid of it. Tyrann Mathieu walked in; he wasn't afraid of it. Now we had Patrick Peterson, we had Calais Campbell. No, he took over. You know, now he had really smart guys around him to help him too, which we've got some guys like that.
Coach, you may have already kind of touched upon this, but obviously when you came here, you knew you had a quarterback, you knew you had receivers. I mean, it didn't take a whole lot of homework to realize that. Is there something about this team that you didn't realize as a pleasant surprise, that you didn't realize until you actually got these guys on practice field? Like, we might be better here than I thought.
The secondary, I said that the other day, but I'm going to say running back. I mean, these guys get criticized. Peyton Barber runs the way we like to run. Pound it. Will he get 100-yard runs? No. We'll get 20s and 15s. Ronald Jones is as explosive as anybody I've seen this time of year, sticking his foot in the ground and going. He's catching the ball well, keep knocking on wood. And I just hope he keeps improving with his confidence. I know what Andre Ellington can do. He's healthy for the first time in about 3 or 4 years. So Dari's a solid guy. He's a hell of a special team. I like our backfield. I think it's okay backfield. There's not a David Johnson or a Todd Gurley, but you don't need one.
We could buy one, though, right, if we want to. We can still get if they're on the market.
I mean, I don't overpay for that position. You know, that David Johnson came in as a rookie, lit it on fire. You just got to find the right guys to fit what you want to do.
Oh, of course. And, you know, the fans fell in love with Peyton Barber last year. He's one of the most popular guys for running with that heart and that fire and that pound that maybe everybody around him wasn't playing at the same level. But, I mean, this guy should be the limit for him. And I know that you've been steady with that confidence with him. I want to go to the corners, Coach. You talked about the team speed a minute ago, and a lot of that's on defense that you're seeing. Those young corners, how heavily were you involved in scouting those guys? Are those classic Todd Bowles corners? What can you say about the process to find those guys?
Yeah, I knew we wanted to get into that market. So I got heavily involved as far as looking at corners. I don't usually look at a lot of corners, but I knew that this was something. The first pick was going to be one of two people, and then it's going to be corners. Mm-hmm. So Sean, I fell in love with Sean right away because he had the length, the speed, and then when I met him, how smart he was, how mature of a guy he is. And he also played nickel. So his position flexibility playing man-to-man with his length was off the charts right off the bat. Jamel, you know, he played the whole year with a broken hand and a big cast on his hand, and he's playing bump and run. So I know he's got heart, you know. And whether or not I could catch, I didn't know until we got that cast off. But two guys that we said, their length is unbelievable. You know, when I think of corners, it's not always speed, because one of the toughest guys, we'll see him in the first game, is Richard Sherman. Richard's very smart, but he has length. You got to throw the ball perfect to get it over their arms when you're throwing fades or back shoulders. It's different when you got a 5'10 corner and you can pick on him a little bit. But those tall, long guys are tough to pick on.
I'm the only guy old enough to ask Coach this question. Coach, look, I was on with Charlie Weiss on Sirius Radio the other day, and he was asking me about Bruce Arians. I said, the man's got a 30-man staff. Weiss says, now, wait a minute. There's two women on that staff. Ira, you speak right. I said, 30-member staff.
Yeah.
So, Bruce, here's my question. You got a humongous staff. Mm-hmm. As we all, you're going to be 67 this fall. I ain't telling any secrets over here. So what do you say, Bruce? And I've asked this question. I said, look, I'm paying for Bruce Arians. I want Bruce Arians as my head coach. What do you say to people to say he's going to delegate too much authority? He's boosting these assistant coaches. That's what Arians is about. How hands-on are you going to be, Mr. Arians?
I think if you're out there, you hear me enough. I don't think the players have any doubt about that right now. And, you know, you hire guys to do jobs. And one of the reasons for the large staff and the interns that we had also is because of when we split into two fields, I want somebody's eyes on every single player. I want them coached after every single play. It's not, let's go watch it on film. Coach it right there on the field. Get it corrected so it can make a mark on them. And then go back in the film room and make that mark again. And then back in the meeting room and make that mark again. Hopefully they remember it. I've known all these guys. I trust them all to do their jobs.
But ultimately, you have the biggest voice in the room, Bruce, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and then in that big room, I got a big voice.
What does this team, or what can't it do? If you guys hope to, you know, play for a winning team, maybe play for meaningful games in January, what can't you do? I'll give you an example. Your predecessor, he had a great one-liner. That's why I'm bringing this up. Your predecessor, I asked him a similar question at the Combine a year ago. And he leaned over, looked me right in the eye. He said, we can't have 22 sacks, meaning they needed more.
Register 22 sacks.
What does your team need to do in order to be a winner or maybe playing in January?
Win the turnover battle. Be in the upper five of the league in the turnover ratio because we believe in turning the ball over and disruption on defense and offensively being productive but not at the cost of turning the ball over. So if we're at the end of the season plus 15, plus 12, and we're up there in the top five, we're going to be in the hunt.
Those are the teams that make the playoffs, Bruce, year after year.
Yeah, the quarterbacks don't beat them, and their defense get the ball back and get you good field position.
Coach, you spent a year in the media, and obviously you've been around the media for years. Where do we all get it wrong? I mean, give us some education here. Where does the media get it wrong in the NFL? Where is it sort of off track where you think it could get a little better?
Well, the competition's gotten so crazy. You know, 10 years ago, there might be one person on radio. Now there's 100. Now we've got 8 different organizations that grade our film and tell us how good our players are. And guys guys jump on it and say, hey, PFOTXL said this guy stinks. I think he's pretty good. I don't know who's grading that film. But all that stuff, I get a kick out of some of that stuff now. But I think the media is great. I mean, have been a part of it. I've always had a respect for the jobs that they do because I think they respect the job we do. And as long as that stays that way, it's always great.
Coach, are you having fun? I mean, you look great. A lot of fans like to say, oh, Arians will be out of here in 2 years. He's old. I saw that retirement speech that he gave. But you look like you're ready for 3, 4, 5 more years. Are you planning for that?
The only way I'm out in 2, we'll have a Super Bowl parade right down here town. And then I might have to think about it.
Early impressions of Tampa Bay.
Oh, love it. Love it, but great, great city. Get the foundation going here soon, and hopefully have our first event in March.
Loyal fans, Bruce, that have been through a lot.
Yeah, I met so many, and it's time for a winner. You know, it's the same thing. Arizona had that little taste, then they went back down, and then it's a tough place to play when we got winning. And I know how tough this place is to play when we start winning.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate it. We're going to get Ira one of these hats. Yeah, I know you
he
can get
one.
I know you can get them at Buccaneers.com and the Arians Family Foundation website. I'm going to get one. If my wife doesn't like it, I'm not going to wear it. We're going to draw a line there. But it is wonderful stuff that you do for the community. I know you're getting into the Guardian ad litems, which is local here. And I hope you get a little more detailed with what you do because it is so amazing and the need is so great.
Yeah, it's been amazing just watching my wife work all these years, saving one child at a time. And we can't save them all, but we can save one at a time.
Coach, would you ever think of bringing us bums, all of us, the guys in that room, in for a little media film session, Bruce, or you think that's crazy?
To watch film with
would
us?
Would you do that?
No.
Would you think? No.
Smart coach. I like him. I like him even more.
He's got an open mind up to a point. Oh,
all right,
man.
Thanks, coach. Enjoy your vacation, and right. We'll see you at training camp.
Thank you, guys.
We promised, and we deliver when we promise. We promised a special guest.
Obviously, you sat down with Bruce Arians. I was with you, along with Steve Isbitz, the other Joe, JoeBucksman.com.
And our man, Beast Intern, was there.
Oh, that's right. Zach was there as well. Zach was the intern, Zach. You know, let's review this a little bit, Ira.
It was nice of him to do it, Lee, because right now he's in his lake house
in
Georgia.
Yeah.
And he's catching a 22-pound tarpin, and he's got a 7 a.m. Tea time tomorrow.
Well, if he catches a tarpin in a Georgia lake, that's news.
See, that shows you how much I know about fishing over there, Lee.
That's news. So,
what about a snook?
Not even a snook. Maybe a bass. But I asked him about fishing, and he said he can never catch anything. So I believe what Arians may be doing is what a friend of mine says about when he goes fishing. He brings a six-pack of beer along with him, and he hopes the fish don't bother him.
And then who cares if you catch a fish? There you go.
All right. So, among some of the things, Bruce Arians discussed with you, he had mentioned once before about flipping the roster is easier now. So needing time, to turn around a woe-begone team, which the Bucks are, into a winner is not as difficult as what it was. And specifically talked about there's free agency now. And there's the draft, of course. And so he said it's easier to do that. Your reaction to, is he setting himself up?
Well, Lee, I think the biggest takeaway from that kind of discussion, and he said it before, and this is music to Buck fans' ears, music. Because some of them are looking at the roster right now, perhaps like you and I, and saying, hey, there's holes here, there's holes there, they got to shore up over here. The point being, Lee, this is not where the 53-man roster is going to land out of these 90 or 100 guys. It's not just like, hey, they're going to get rid of 37 and the 53 are already on the roster and we can already name them. No, that is not the case. I think the Bucks are going to be one of the busy teams this year in late August and early September before the 49ers come marching in. And Lee, I think it's imperative for Jason Light, his cohort, Greenberg, the salary cap man, and some of the other people working up there diligently up in the executive suite. Lee, I think it's important that the Bucks are poised financially to take advantage of some guys that are late cuts, because they're going to be some big names.
Are
guys
there
that we don't anticipate? Yes, I do believe that.
When you said they're poised to go out and grab somebody, are they?
Well, I don't know if they are as we speak in early June, but I think they have 2 months to get their financial house in order. Look, Lee, let's be honest. This year has been an aberration in terms of, we're not used to this team having salary cap issues.
Rare.
Salary cap questions. The bigger issue is they don't have enough talent. Well, now, with these, the ramifications of the salary cap might have played a role in dumping Gerald McCoy. I don't think it was the number one reason. What'd they do? Pick up $3 or $4 million out of the whole bargain?
Roughly, yeah.
But if they really wanted McCoy, they would have kept him. So I don't think that was the number one reason. But my point is, Lee, they got two months to get their financial house in order, however they do it. And they're going to be cutting some guys in late August, too. Mm-hmm. But my point is, and Arians has said it, and he's alluded to what he did out in the desert, five, six years ago, they picked up some key players towards the end of training camp, and I think that's exactly what they're going to do here.
Well, you bring this subject up, so I'll ask you this, and this came today. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. His first name is Yannick, defensive end, Jacksonville. He's had 23 sacks last 2 years. He's an animal when it comes to tackles for loss. He's got a boatload of tackles for loss. Young guy. I was told by someone.
He's not 31.
Oh, not, no. He's more closer to 21 than 31. He's on his rookie contract, and he is a guy that someone with the Bucks told me when he came out in the 2016 draft, the Bucks were all over him. And they didn't draft him for a variety of reasons.
Why don't the Jags value him, Lee?
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for the Jags, but he is sitting out mandatory minicamp, which is going to cost him six figures.
He's looking for a new contract.
He said, you guys should re-up me. I've been begging, I've been asking, and there's been no movement, so I'm not coming to minicamp.
If I was Jason Light, I'd be on the phone with Coughlin. I'd be on the phone with Coughlin. And of course, I put that out on Twitter, like Jason Light needs to be calling Coughlin right now.
And the discussion is, what do you want for him?
Exactly. And of course, people are saying, well, how are you going to fit him under the cap? Well, number one, there's JPP's salary right there. He's probably going to want more than JPP's salary. Understandable. But you know what? A guy like that, a young guy like that, a proven guy like that, you start throwing people overboard. If it's got to be Hargraves, it's got to be Hargraves. Will Golston, I don't even know why he's on the roster still. A guy like that, an impact player like that, a young guy who's already proven to be one of the best in the NFL, you find room. If you got to rework Jensen's contract, you do that. If you got to say bye-bye Dotson, as much as I hate to say, you make room for this guy. Oh, he'd be gone. You make room for this guy. Somehow, some way, by hook or crook, you find a way. I'd be all over Coughlin. I'd say, here, I'll give you Hargraves, I'll give you Golston, I'll give you a second-round pick. I'll give you this guy, I'll give you that guy, I don't care. I'd be all over Coughlin. And like I said, this guy's a young guy, JPP, he's on the wrong side of 30.
He's only going to play a year or two with the Bucks, JPP.
He's only under contract through next year, through 2020. We don't even know he's going to play this year. And he may not play again for all we know. I know Aaron's was saying maybe October. I don't buy that one. After talking to a couple doctors and hearing Dr. David Chow, former doctor of the San Diego Chargers, And when he does come back, he can't be in any kind of shape. He can't be pumping weights for the neck brace.
Lee, to be fair, the Bucks are probably not the only team that would have an interest in this guy.
Oh, sure.
So, it's going to be a little bidding going on for this
I don't
guy.
Know if there would be a need. Yeah, and you're right. And Coughlin doesn't care about if a team needs him. He's just worried about compensation.
As he should.
Yeah, as he should. I'd be all over this like you wouldn't believe. Now, with JPP real quick, the X factor that none of us can judge. Here is a guy that came back from blowing up his hand. That's pretty phenomenal. I think we tend to forget that. So his inner fortitude is not
beyond,
like most
beyond
people.
Question.
Yeah. So who knows if he can come back from this neck injury or not. He's sure going to give it a try, I know. And that's the X factor that none of us can judge. None of us can measure. But I can't believe he's going to be in any kind of shape to play football when he does come back.
Look, I'm going to go with what Bruce Arians said. And at one point he said it's a 5 or 6 month injury. Mm-hmm. He did not make that up out of the air.
No.
That's what Bruce Arians was told by people in the field, Buck people that know what they're talking
medicine
about.
People, yeah.
So I'll go with that.
Yeah.
And that puts him back at the earliest, I believe, in November. And that's best case scenario.
Yeah. That's where everything goes right. All right. So enough of JPB. The flip in the roster. Specifically, Arians was talking about when he went to Arizona. And he told you flat out, I didn't have a quarterback when I got to Arizona.
What he said.
He's got a quarterback here. Offensive line, patchwork. Got an offensive line here.
At least they're well paid here. They're well paid.
I know a lot of fans don't want to hear that, but Arians is content with that. Now, here's something that I thought was very interesting. Arians said he's got speed at cornerback here that he didn't have there, although he had excellent corners, excellent defensive backs, Patrick Peterson being one, Honey Badger was a safety. He talked about the speed he's got here. I thought that was very interesting.
Well, he didn't have the speed till
draft
a month ago. And he also talked about how Lee, and this was one of the great lines from Arians. He let it slip out, Lee, but nothing gets past you. You heard it, and I heard it, and so did Isbitz. There were two guys at the top of the buckboard that slipped out. We've never heard that before. We hadn't heard it from Jason Light. You're not going to hear it from Jason Light because it's euphoria. Devin White was the guy all along. No. You and I have said this to each other on this podcast, and I'm going to say it again. I think Quinnen Williams was that other guy.
I think so. Mm-hmm, I think you're
and
right.
So do you. Yeah. Over Bosa, certainly Kyler Murray was not a factor.
No.
With the Bucs. I think it was Williams, who some people say was the best player in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he go? Number three. I believe he went number three.
Yes.
So he was gone. But Lee, he also followed that up by saying, and then we did a run on corners. And Lee, the way he said it, tell me if I'm reading too much into it. But I know you're going to agree with me. That is Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles getting in a room weeks before the draft and plotting out the whole draft strategy. Am I wrong? Now, when it came to picking the exact corners, Jason and his scouts play a role in that, as they should. But if Bowles didn't like bunting, if Bowles didn't like Mike Edwards or Dean, they ain't here.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced, although they will never admit it, I'm pretty convinced that Bowles looked at the tape when he was first hired by Arians and went to Arians or Light or both and said, there's no way I can compete with these corners.
Not the way we want to play football.
Exactly. And that's why
allegedly Gerald McCoy's not here. He didn't fit whatsoever in their plans. But I just thought that was it. I'm convinced that he being Bowles, went to Light and or Arians, said there's no way we can compete with these corners.
Are you convinced, Lee, as we sit here in June, 6 weeks before the team reconvenes, are you convinced that when the Niners come in, barring injury, that Carlton Davis and Vernon Hargraves are the starting outside corners? Do you think that's set in stone?
Not at all.
Because I don't think it is.
I agree with you. You can make argument Hargraves won't even be on the roster. Now, obviously him and Arians kind of butted heads a little bit when underwear football practice started. Arians said he's got to get mentally right to practice. And I talked to someone with the Bucks, and oh, that was blown out of proportion. But the more I think about it, the explanation I got just didn't jive. It just didn't. They said, oh, you know, Hargraves was told by trainers that he tweaked his hamstring and that he was 75% available for practice. And Arians believes if you're 75%, you can get on the field. Hargraves didn't believe that. That smells fishy to me.
And Lee, speaking of Davis, Lee, I'll be the first to say I thought Davis had a decent rookie year. Not fantastic.
Okay.
But Lee, if one of the second-round corners outplays Carlton Davis in training camp, he's going to win the job.
Sure. And to be fair for Carlton Davis, that defense was such an abomination. I don't think you can get a fair read on any of the defensive
backs. It's just, Lee, in retrospect, you know, the night they draft Carlton Davis, here comes Light into that podium saying press corner, loves to play that style, very effective. And then the season starts and we don't see it, Lee. What a disconnect.
If you ask me what was the downfall of Mike Smith, and, you know, Jason Light's a little bit to blame here, too. And I will say even the Glazers, they're not completely innocent in this. The fact Mike Smith was retained after having the worst defense in the league following the 2017 season, that was the beginning of the end for everybody. Now, you know, Light probably will say, well, I don't want to get involved in coaching. Well,
that's Dirk's staff.
I understand that. But at some point, you know, who's running the asylum, so to speak, you know? And I know the Glazer family, I don't know if brag is the right word, but they're proud of the fact that they hire people to do their jobs. We hired you, you do your job. That's what we hired you for, we're getting out of it.
Pass or fail on your own.
Yeah.
Pass or fail.
And I respect that a lot, and that's very admirable. But even for an ownership group, that was probably obvious to them that Mike Smith should have been gone. Sometimes you have to be proactive.
And let's be honest, they are the ones that likely gave the nudge that a move had to be made for Mike Smith. Because I think, Lee, and I don't think this is crazy, had there been no interference from the Glazers and or Jason Light at that point, I think Mike Smith would have finished the season under Dirk.
I agree with you.
You agree with me?
I agree with you. At the very least, the Glazers signed off on it. But now, whether they, you know, decided they pointed
whether they
at Light,
encouraged it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Whether they told Light, get rid of him, or I don't think, I think both of us know that it wasn't Cutter's call. Whether they told Light to take care of it or they took care of it themselves, I don't know, but I'm sure that at least they signed off on it. At least.
Lee, what is going on? What in the world is going on with Justin Evans? What is going on? I'm not sure this guy's going to be ready to start the season and or retain the starting job. Lee?
Yeah, I promising is not the correct word. It's not comforting to see him in that boot. And oh, that was just a different procedure. He'll be okay. Well,
they like this guy, Mike Edwards, Lee. They like him.
And they drafted him for a reason. Whether that was they're spooked about Evans, whether they thought Edwards is that much better than Evans, I'm not sure. But they drafted him for a reason, even though they had Whitehead, even though they had Evans.
And if they develop Whitehead, he could nudge ahead of Evans.
Now, I didn't see it, but Isbitz talked about he saw him early in underwear football. He looked tremendous. And I love his nose for physical football. I love that. Of course.
Even though the league doesn't go that way.
Yeah. Even though in today's NFL that's discouraged, I like it.
What did you think when, and it's a classic Bruce Arians line, got a lot of play nationally. It's the only time the Bucks ever make national news is when somebody says something outlandish.
Yeah.
We fixed the secondary. We fixed the corners. It's all fixed, Lee. Did you muffle a laugh? What'd you do when you...
My eyebrows rose, I'll say that. He's saying some things that I hope don't come back to bite him. We're happy with the running backs. Guy doesn't need to get 100 yards.
We're set on the offensive line. You know.
Yeah, the defense is fixed. If any of those three things fail to happen, that's not good for Bruce Arians. That's not good for Bruce Arians. The one thing I thought was interesting.
Now, he does have to stress the positively at this stage. He does.
Yeah, and you know what? There's only one time I can think of where he was, you could tell he was not happy. And he didn't mince words. It was about Vernon Hargreaves. That's the only time, if you think about it, it's the only time I wouldn't say a cross word, but an unhappy word, a negative term, negative connotation. Other than that, everything, oh, this guy's looking great, this guy's looking great.
By the way, Lee, I did the Identity Tampa 2 with Mr. Derek Brooks last week. We're taping some more segments this week. He said he popped his head on a couple of practices. I believe he came out some of the days that we were not privy. But he said more than one, two or three. He liked the tempo. He liked the teaching that was going on. Derek Brooks has been to a few OTA sessions and mandatory mini camps. He knows what a good one looks like and what a not-so-good one looks like. He was impressed. Lee, this idea about the two practices going on simultaneously, if that's the reason you got that big staff, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a humongous staff, Lee.
It's a huge staff. And in your interview with Arians, he said that was part of the reason why it's so big. He wants a set of eyes on every player. And if you have that many coaches, you're probably going to succeed.
And he doesn't want to wait till the tape analysis comes
right there.
Out.
Yeah, he wants correction right there, which is smart. That's very smart. You know, there's coaches out there that really believe coaching is teaching. Bobby Knight's a big believer in that. There's another coach I can't think of right now. Bill Walsh was that way too. They believed coaching was teaching and vice versa. That's one and the same. And Arians is one of these guys, correct the problem right now. Don't wait. Correct it right away.
Otherwise,
and I like
they
that.
Still do the bad habit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And about 90 players in camp, and there's 30-some coaches. That's close to a set of eyes on everybody at all times. Now, what I thought was very interesting, and I didn't think of it this way, but when he talked about, you know, during the last week or during the week of minicamp, and he talked about there's been times where the second field, you know, where the reserves practice, guys have practiced so well, they've been promoted to the first field. And I liken it to the kiddie table at Thanksgiving. You're stuck at the kiddie table in the kitchen, but you want to graduate to the dining room table where they serve wine. You want to go there.
And better conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I liken. I told it to somebody with the Bucks, and they said that's a perfect analogy. You want to graduate from the kiddie table to the adult table.
They still got me at the kiddie table, Lee, when I go up the Palm Coast to my wife's brother. I'm still at the kiddie table. I'm with the six-year-old.
As long as dessert is served, you're okay.
You know, and a beet salad in front of me, I'm a happy man.
Well, what did you say earlier today about plums? A bland plum is no good?
A bland plum, a bland peach. Can I get a Georgia peach in the state of Florida? Where do I got to go? Do I got to go to Valdosta, Georgia? I'll drive up there. Oh, man, these bland peaches are driving me crazy.
Lee, I like the bland plum.
Now, Lee, what did you make? And, of course, it's my question. You know, everybody laughs about my questions, but everybody uses the answers to my dumb questions. You ever notice that?
I don't consider them dumb.
So, Lee, it was the last day of mandatory minicamp. So I leave my house and deliberately, you know, try to float in, you know, 15, 20 minutes after practice starts. I don't need to see the, you know, the boys limber up and calisthenics and
this
and that.
Yeah, such excitement.
So I think it was going to start at 10:30, so, or 10 or whatever. So I show up, you know, 10:20, and I walk in the media room. There's nobody in there. I put my bag down. I see a couple of photographers, and I said, what's going on? Are they indoors or outdoors today? And the guy goes, practice just ended. I look at my watch. It's like 10:20.
Uh-huh.
I said, just ended. I run out there as fast as these old legs will carry me. I think I ran about a 6:40. And then everybody's surrounding Arians at this time. He's up against, you know, the backdrop. And I don't know what's been asked.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff Ryan, he's the radio guy, was standing there. I said, Jeff, does anybody ask Coach about the training camp regimen? Any questions about, you know, what it's going to be like when they come back for training? He said, no. So then I asked, what times are you thinking about for training camp? You're going to shift them, move them around, or you're going to, you know, have it regimented? And Lee, tell the listeners what he said about it.
It's very interesting. He's going to have some in the morning, some in the afternoon, some at night. And the nighttime is interesting. You know, I think, didn't you ask him, are you going to use the indoor facility?
I did.
I hope not.
Yeah.
And the only time he wants to use it is lightning and rain. One of the two. That surprised me as far as when he said the rain.
because most coaches love, and fans go bananas about this, and coaches are the complete opposite. Coaches love wet ball drills.
Because they figure there's going to be a game or two during the season.
Especially in this
time. You have to deal with it.
Yeah. And coaches love that. I remember hearing Bill Cowher on NFL radio just like going on and on about
that. Belichick does that all the time.
Loves it. And fans go bananas. I mean, there's a drop of rain. Before they had an indoor facility, I'm on my Twitter feed. I thought people were going to... You know, they were standing in front of me, they start swinging at me. Like, no, this is good. Coaches love it.
You know, here come the ambulances again, Lee.
JPP.
Another Buck highlight film. do you get the impression that Arians is serious and genuine? And we've heard this for 10 years, Lee. We've heard it. Everybody talks about it. But maybe Arians is serious about it. Using this heat to try to beat it a Bucks advantage. Do you feel he really believes that he could do that? Everybody talks about it.
I don't know if he's being genuine, but that doesn't mean he's being a con artist. And people are like, what are you talking about? I know that football guys have to play politically correct, you know. So I don't know if he's actually serious or not, but in a good spin.
All I know is, Lee, is that first game's going to be 4:25 in the freaking afternoon on September 8th or 9th, whatever that date is. And it's going to feel like 99 degrees. And you better be ready.
Well, here's the...
And you got a West Coast team coming in here that's not used to it. Why wouldn't that be to your advantage?
Well, you know what? We've heard Lovey say that. We heard Raheem say that. We heard Shiano say that. And it blew up in their face.
Always started lousy in September.
Yeah, and it finished... I remember that Dallas game when Raheem was coaching all through training camp. Oh, it's going to be great. We practice same time we're going to play. And Dallas hammered them. Handed them their hat. Hammered. Now, that's not to say it doesn't get warm in Dallas. It certainly does. They hammered the Bucks that day. And it obviously didn't work for Lovey. And it didn't work for Shiano. But I'm going to give Arians the benefit of the doubt. And Arians, you got to remember, he's Bear Bryant guy. Junction Boys. Look it up, people. Google Junction Boys. So that would make sense that Arians believes that. But I'm going to give the Bucks the benefit of the doubt for this reason. The Bucks have gone... jumped into the deep end of the pool with sports science. These vests that you see these guys wearing, they've got sensors on them. Florida State was one of the first schools to do this. They won a national championship. They got these sensors on them. Now, do you, Ira, at practices, see a guy with a laptop off to the side with a towel over the laptop? So you can see? The guy is reading sensors on all these players. He could tell if they're starting to break down physically, if they're starting to dehydrate, if they're starting to get worn out, if they're starting to tire, fatigue. They could tell all of that with all these sensors. I'm assuming they're going to use that in games, too. So
you're lucky they don't hook you up to one of those, Lee. By the third story, you're dead meat.
So my guess is this may work for them. It's not going to hinder them because they're going to, again, they have the readouts and the printouts. Like you're starting to dehydrate. Get off the field.
He's also talking about virtual reality stuff. Well, so it's cutting edge, right?
Yeah,
There's going to be a lot of cutting edge stuff.
So the sensor thing, that's been around since, like, I know Florida State used it in 2013, and Jimbo Fisher directly credits that for them winning the national title. Then the next year, with
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston, quarterback. The next year, Saban, he heard about this and said, well, I'm trying that, and look what Alabama's done. And now everybody, Oregon does it.
Looking for an edge.
Yeah.
You are looking for an edge.
And this is a smart edge because, again, you can tell if a guy's starting to break down before he even knows it.
Get him out of there.
Yeah, get him out of there, you know. And if you notice, the year of Florida State won the national title, second half of the seasons, they destroyed people. Yeah. Even the national championship game, 24-10, they outscored Auburn in the second half. They destroyed people in the second half of games. And Fisher,
better condition. Better condition.
Not so much condition, but again, those sensors, they could tell. You need to come out before the guy even knows it. You need to come out.
Wow.
And that's cutting edge stuff. And most colleges use it now. I'm assuming Belichick and other NFL teams use it. But this is the first time the Bucks are using it. So, you know, in recent history, playing or practicing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon has done nothing for this team.
I know a couple of writers in the media room that could use a vest like that. Leave it. Might help their copy.
Right before they open up the trough at Raymond James?
What else did young Mr. Arians have to say? But I'm right there in age, by the way. I'm right there
with him. Yeah, he was joking with you about Medicare.
Yeah, I just signed up, baby.
He says a pain in the ass. Is it?
No. Okay. You fill out a form and off you go.
Oh, okay. He was acting like it was like an ordeal.
Oh, by the way, I got a story.
Oh.
Quick story.
Good stories.
Good story. Lee, I signed up for Medicare. I got the cards in the mail. And now I'm dealing with Social Security, and I got a couple of questions about Social Security. Do I take it early and if I'm working, and do I pay a penalty? So I go to my local Social Security office last Thursday. I walk in, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's about 100 freaking people sitting there. I thought all of them were going to be, you know, 65, 75, and 85. I got 22-year-olds sitting there. So yeah. I go straight up to the guy at the booth. He goes, how can I help you? I said, I'm here to make an appointment for next week. I don't want to sit here. I want to make an appointment for next week. He looks at me with a straight face, Lee. We're running 60 days behind on appointments.
I believe that.
I said, 60 days behind? He goes, yeah. You want to come in September? It's clear sailing. I go, to hell with that. So then I say to him, what are these 22-year-olds doing in here? You know what he says? Disability.
Really?
It's all about disability. Man. He said, yeah, it's all about fraud. Never mind this disability.
Man, I believe
there's
that.
There's plenty of that going around, too.
Yeah.
So I walked out of there. He goes, you know what you do? You call this number. He gave me a local number. I'm not going to sit there for 4 hours. Go to 3 different windows. By the way, you can't even get behind the window. You got, it's like going
to the bank or something?
Yeah. I mean, they must be worried about a wild shooting going. Yeah, crazy going in there. So I'm gonna call on the phone. That's my story. 60 days just to make an appointment. Lee, what's going on around here?
That doesn't really shock me. I wanted to do that with the IRS about something a few years ago. I went to the office in St. Pete. And they said, well, if you want an appointment, it's going to be like 5 or 6 weeks out. And they said, but you can call this number, maybe you get lucky. And it was the 800 number, you know. And I got through in like 10 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Otherwise, I would have had to wait about 5 or 6 weeks, got my issue over with, boom, done. So that doesn't really shock me, but I don't know how many people in our listening audience are actually going to the Social Security office or the IRS, for that matter, trying to make an appointment.
All right, give me one more little tidbit from the man.
What did you think about this? When you kind of joked with Arians, like, hey, you're just here to set up your buddies. You're just here for the coaches.
You got all these coaches.
Yeah. The Glazers are paying for Bruce Arians. They're going to get Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
And he said the only way he resigns after 2 years, if they win a Super Bowl. Only way.
And the only way that some of these guys, like the Byron Leftwiches of the world, mm-hmm. and Goodwin, the only way those guys get bumped up is if the Bucks win.
Yeah.
So everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Sure. Sure.
You know, nobody's going to look twice at Byron Leftwich if the Bucks go 6-10.
Well, I catch flack for this on JoeBucksFan.com, and I'm not trying to be a derriere about it. I'm just being honest. It's an honest observation. Last year, Leftwich was quarterback coach and later offensive coordinator at Arizona. It was unprecedented what Arizona did with Josh Rosen. He's the first quarterback since 1970, that was drafted in the first round, and less than a year later, he was gone. They gave up on him. How can Byron Leftwich be blameless in the lack of development for Josh Rosen?
I'll say this, Lee. One thing you may not be putting enough emphasis on is you're looking at it for, you know, what did Rosen do wrong? Why was he unimpressive to management? Lee, the other side of it is maybe they think Murray's the next Patrick Mahomes.
That could be.
But Patrick Mahomes don't come around very often.
That's true. And there's also the fact that, you know, Mahomes is built more like an NFL quarterback, where Murray is not. The jury is very much out on him, less so, of course, when Mahomes came in.
They were a train wreck last year, Lee.
They were a train wreck, but if this guy showed anything, they wouldn't have. Again, this is the first time since 1970, an NFL team gave up on a quarterback drafted in the first round.
You don't want to give up on that quarterback.
Heck no, you got a lot invested. You got a lot invested. If I remember correctly, they traded up to get it.
That's
so
right.
They got a lot invested in it.
Right.
I don't see how you cannot give some blame, some 10%, 15% to Leftwich. And my point is, if Jameis melts down this year, well, Brian Leftwich is pretty much done as far as coaching in the NFL. You know, any prospective employer is like, wait a minute. They gave up on Rosen when you were there. They gave up on Jameis when you were there. Why should I hire you?
Now, Lee, to the question of whether Arians is going to be hands-on enough for my liking, because, you know, Lee, you've heard me say this, and I hope this is not the scenario, because it was a disaster. But in Indy, You know, Bill Polian had done all these great things. Mm. Ended up in the Hall of Fame. Not just from Indy. He did things in Carolina, Buffalo.
Yes.
You know, long resume. But, Lee, if you go back and you look at his top draft picks in Indy year after year, he hit like six or seven big ones in a row. Nobody does that. 6 years in a row, a big impact player. I mean, you know, from the Bob Sanders to whatever. Reggie Wayne and this and that. Dallas Clark, maybe. Big-time players. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of his regime time in Indy, he's pushing his son, Chris Polian.
Yeah.
It caused a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled back. He wanted to put the spotlight on his son. His son is in Bill Polian, and they're paying for Bill Polian. So that's the kind of way I looked at it with now.
That is such a dead-on observation, an analogy. Perfect.
Thank you, Mike.
Because Ursay was paying for Bill Polian, he's getting his unproven son.
Absolutely.
And then Peyton Manning gets hurt, and they lose, what, 12 games?
Now, Lee, you have an observation that's fresh from Jameis Winston that kind of tampers down any suggestion that Arians has removed himself from the day-to-day. What'd you learn about the voices that are in Jameis's ear?
Yeah, and Steve and I think you kind of chimed in a little bit that you're wondering if too many cooks in the kitchen. That's the cliche. You got Tom Moore, you got Christensen, you've got Leftwich, and of course you have Arians. Like, you know, if you're Jameis, first you're running a new offense, then you have all these people trying to tell you what to do. You know, that's got to be confusing to some degree.
And some of them could be at odds with each other.
Very much so. Very much so. And Jameis, I don't expect him to say otherwise. You know, Jameis, publicly, everybody's great, everybody's awesome. You know, I heard some of the stuff that Jackson, oh, hell, we don't even have to, we know publicly what Jackson was doing to the guy on national TV. And Jameis is always, you know, talking up Jackson. So this is
an interview he did with Adam Schefter.
Yeah, right? He did Adam Schefter's podcast. And I don't expect Jameis to say anything otherwise. But he was saying that there aren't too many cooks in the kitchen. And what I thought was interesting was, yeah, he said, you know, Tom Moore is helping me out, and Clyde Christensen, Byron Leftwich, called them all Coach Moore. He called them Coach Moore. He said, but you know what? Arians is coaching me, and he's coaching the coaches. And he talked about he used the term parallel learning, that as much as he's being taught by Arians, Leftwich is being taught by Arians. Christensen is being coached by Arians. I thought that was very interesting. That's hands-on.
That's sweet music for Buck fans.
Yeah. So, you know, it is, even though there's four voices, it's technically one voice. And that voice is Arians.
He's the guy that wrote the book, The Quarterback Whisperer, not Clyde Christensen.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it in the podcast, too, Lee, with us. He's going to make the big decisions, Lee. He's going to set the tone. And I think that's the right thing to do. Like we set the tone right here on this podcast.
There you go, Ira. You know what? I think the tone has been set very well for this podcast. You have any last-minute thoughts?
Well, we haven't had an ambulance fly by here in about 7 minutes, Lee, so I think Buck fans are nice and calm. They're reading my columns. They're listening to your podcast. All is well. And we're going to be back later in the week with a little more Arians and a little more Joe Bucks fan.
Great stuff, Ira and Lee. Thanks to Bruce Arians for sitting down with us. Of course, we have another Ira Kaufman podcast coming this week. And remember, next week, June 20th, Thursday, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Just RSVP at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. It's free, 5 to 7, food, drinks, Ira Kaufman, and the star of the show, the all-new XT6. And it will also be there, Ira, the food, and the XT6 the following night, all free at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. RSVP to head on out there, bring a friend at edmorsecadillactampa.com.